Thank you, Brother Jesse. In the morning study, we began looking at the examples found here in chapter 11 with the foundation of Abel offering up a proper sacrifice. And this was done by faith, and it is really the foundation for all of our faiths, that is, that we're accepted in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf. This is the beginning of faith, that we have the Lord as our sacrifice. And that was in shadow and in type what Abel did. And we see the other examples we briefly looked at were Enoch and Noah, and then finally Abraham. And they all gave us different ways in which faith was displayed, but it is the same faith. Belief in what God has said, and moving forward based on what the Lord has promised. And we finished with Abraham. So now we begin the second study, and as we were going to do this on our own, perhaps the first section really should be with these last three names here, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. They're the finishing up of Genesis. But for our study, we're going to fit them in the second study. And these three men show us faith at the end of life. You know, it's important to end well. Now, Isaac, he thought he was at his end of his life. He had at least 20 more years to go where his son would go off and he wouldn't see him again for 20 years. And so in that occasion, he blessed his sons. And we know if we look at the record, it seems like he was deceived, doesn't it? But Scripture specifically says here, he blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come by faith. So perhaps he wasn't so deceived. He pretended to be deceived, perhaps. I'm just suggesting that. Because the Spirit of God is pointing out that he did that. He blessed them by faith. Not just Esau, but Jacob as well. And we also see how Jacob ended very well. You know, the think about their lives and all that could be recorded that we would use as an example of faith displayed in their lives. The Spirit only uses these one examples in each of their lives. And it's at the end of their life. And then Joseph as well, at the end of his life. What a life of faith Joseph lived in so many ways. But Hebrews 11, it's only this moment when he's about to die in regards to his bones. And like his father Jacob, he did not want to be buried in Egypt. He wanted those bones, although buried in Egypt, to be removed from Egypt and brought to the promised land when the children of Israel would be delivered in a coming day. He saw what was invisible in that requirement of his descendants to bring his bones out. And then we're going to look at Moses. We move into the next four books of the Bible. Exodus through Deuteronomy, and we have Moses. What a great man of faith. It's going to be tempting for us. We only have about an hour left in this study that we might dwell on the first three. There will be a transition, maybe sooner than later, that we're going to go into Moses. So don't resist that movement that we will go in. Moses, as Abraham, he gives us an example of faith in the three aspects of his life, in his early life, in the middle of his life, and at the end of his life. And so we would repeat what we said of Abraham. It's important not only to end well, but to live our whole lives well and be obedient to the Lord our whole life long. So may the Lord help us in this study. We'll begin with verse 20.
If we remember, in the case of Isaac, it had been revealed to Rebekah when she gave birth to both Jacob and Esau that there was a struggle in her womb. She didn't understand it, and she prayed to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to her, if we remember that, before they were born. And they said, well, there's two nations struggling inside you, and the older will serve the younger. Now, this was not according to nature. This is according to God's will. And we remember when they were born, a miracle took place. As Esau came forth, Jacob grabbed his heel. Imagine what a strange delivery to see the first baby born and then a hand connected to the foot, the heel of the second, the second one holding the heel. And it was almost as if Jacob was saying, I want to be the firstborn. But it was intended that he would be the secondborn. But it was God's will in that order to show that the first Adam would be replaced by the second Adam, Christ. And that was the order in Scripture, throughout Scripture. Well, there's many twins that have that in Scripture for us. But in this case, Isaac really was, his favorite was Esau his whole life. And Jacob really was Rebekah's favorite. And when it came time now, he thought he was old. You know, he probably was over 150, maybe 160 years old. He lived to 180. That, his eyes were dim and, coming to the end. It's time to bless. And up to that point, we don't read any indication that he agreed with what Rebekah shared about the promise that God said of these two boys. And then it just so happens through conniving and deception, it occurred exactly as God had intended, that Jacob was the one blessed above his brother Esau. And it appears in the account that it's done through deception, and yet we can perhaps gain a blessing here to see it was by faith that Isaac blessed Jacob. And he accepted, after he blessed Jacob, thinking it was Esau, he accepted the fact that the mistake was in God's intent, that he actually gave the better blessing to Jacob. Because when Esau came to him, we remember the record, Esau said, oh, bless me, father. And he said, well, you will be blessed, but not with the blessing I gave to your brother. And so he accepted, he agreed with, by faith, he agreed with God's intent for these two boys.
Would we emphasize the phrase there, he blessed them concerning things to come? I wonder if that has part of the emphasis in this verse too. If he blessed Jacob thinking it was Esau, but the words of the blessing back in Genesis 27 suggest that he had the right idea, he had the right knowledge that God was intending that there would be someone to whom, I'm reading verse 29, to whom the peoples and the nations would bow down, master over your brethren, let your mother's sons be bowed down to you, and so on. And I wonder if that's part of this blessing by faith, the action of blessing by faith concerning things to come. Even if he didn't assess the situation correctly, perhaps, we know that according to the record, he was deceived, as we've mentioned, as we've heard. But the words of the blessing were in keeping with God's thoughts. And so here in Hebrews 11, God credits that blessing as being done by faith. But maybe there's more to say about that. I'm interested in others' thoughts, too.